This Friday edition of the Grit and Barrett podcast is sponsored by DraftKings Sportsbook. Basketball teams are entering the final month of the regular season and are gearing up for the summer playoffs. While certain teams are locks to make the playoffs, others are fighting for the opportunity to chase the golden trophy this summer. And DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is ready to put you in the center of all the action by turning $1 into $100. Turning $1 into $100 is simple. Pick any basketball team to win their next game, and if that team of your choosing hits a three, you bring home $100 in free bets. That's 100-1 odds that the team of your choosing hits a three, and they don't even have to win. This year's teams have been hitting threes at unprecedented paces, so get in on the action with DraftKings Sportsbook before this offer ends. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw funds at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free bets if the basketball team of your choosing hits a three. That's code THPN to turn $1 into $100 in free bets for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, PA apply. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This is the Grit and Barrett podcast, a podcast devoted to the 11-time Calder Cup champion, the Hershey Bears. We talk Hershey Bears, the American Hockey League, and all the hockey news that matters to me. This is high energy, unfiltered, and at times unfocused hockey talk from a hack. And now, on with the show. Hello and welcome to this bonus Friday episode of the Grit and Barrett podcast. You made it, weary traveler. You have made it to Friday. Now rest or get excited over a weekend full of delicious, glorious hockey, both NHL and American Hockey League. Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. Another, I want to say midweek because my podcasting schedule, this feels like midweek, even though this is dropping on a Friday. So this is appearing to be that when we have Wednesday games, I seem to be in the mood to do a little bonus podcast. And when the world starts getting more right and we have more of a normal season once we get to October, this might actually be a thing as we move forward. Not over the summer, of course, but we'll deal with that when the time comes. We are brought to you exclusively here at the Hockey Podcast Network, and we'd like to thank our sponsors, DraftKings Sportsbook, for sponsoring this podcast, but also all of the podcasts here on the Hockey Podcast Network. So, why am I on here at the end of the week, ladies and gentlemen? Well, the Bears had a game Wednesday night, and it was just so much fun and so much good stuff happened. We had some news breaking during the week, and I just thought, why the hell not? Why the hell not? Come on here, talk some hockey nonsense. We don't need a long episode, but at least one that's good enough as we talk about last Wednesday's game and have some fun at making fun of our enemies along the way. So Wednesday night, the boys were back at it. We were off to the PPL Center there at the corner of 7th and Hamilton in Allentown, Pennsylvania, a mere 90-minute drive east on 78. And while they may be our rivals, the Lehigh Valley Phantoms, it is good to see them back up and running, to get themselves back in business. They got through their vaccination shots since now everybody's eligible. They got those. Now, let's put this Corona-chan aside, and let's just start playing some damn hockey. All right, All right, so let's do it here on a Wednesday night. It is Felix Sandstrom for the Lehigh Valley Phantoms and Phoenix Copley for the Bears. The Phantoms wearing those delicious black jerseys. For those who don't know, it is basically the Flyers design, but it is a straight black jersey with orange striping and I want to say, and orange numbers, I think. It's orange numbers on the back. I mean, they're not great, but if you're a Phantoms / Flyers fan, they're fine. They're fine. And I'll say this many times about the Lehigh Valley Phantoms, and I will say it again. They are eventually going to wear Flyers knockoffs. Now, when I say knockoffs, I don't mean those ultra-cheap Chinese knockoffs you can buy for $25 on eBay. No, he speaks from personal experience. No, what I mean is that a lot of teams in the American Hockey League, I'll say about 60% of the teams, wear some sort of variation or straight-up replica designs of their parent club. Because, obviously, when you see these jerseys, you should think instantly, oh, the Rockford Ice Hogs. They're the Chicago Blackhawks affiliate. They are wearing the red that the Blackhawks wear. It is straight-up replicas. The Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins, they wear straight-up Pittsburgh Penguin clones. The black home, the white on the road, those ugly but ugly gold jerseys. Did I say that out loud? I think I did. Well, anyway, when the Phantoms came back, they wore a mixture of black and orange, but mostly black, that had a lot of orange and a lot of blue in it. And, they were beautiful. But I kept saying, the longer this team stays in Allentown, and the more of a fan base it gets, the more Philadelphia influence starts coming in, they're just eventually going to wear Philadelphia Flyers knockoffs. I mean, the Adirondack Phantoms did it the last 2 years of their existence, so the same thing's going to happen with Lehigh, but I'm rambling, aren't I? I'm talking hockey jersey nonsense, aren't I? But let's face it, that's what you're here for. All right, let's get with it. The boys were at it. They're in Allentown, and we get on it early as Felix Sandstrom is just giving up big, juicy, beefy rebounds. Ooh, he's serving up rebound hamburgers tonight, just slinging them out there. And the boys generate offense off a really good turnover. Nice long shot, big rebound off to the side, and Shane Gersich goes, yike! In past a sprawling Sandstrom, wide open net, Bears score! Shane Gersich, the perfect 10, gets on the board early, and it's 1-0 Hershey, and you could feel it. You could just feel it. Hershey asserting its will and just really pushing around the Phantoms. Now, to be fair, this team hasn't played in 2 weeks. They have not played. They have not practiced. So they're going to be a little slow. And the Bears, they're a pretty darn good hockey club. So, yeah. Up early against the Phantoms. Plus, I love shutting the PPL Center up early, because take it from someone who knows, who's been to the Electrodrome, who's been to the Phantom Hive, that place is buzzing early. When they get a lot of that rowdy fan base back, hopefully in October, that place is a house of fire. It is a vat of pure evil when it starts up, and what you do, you shut them up with a goal. And that's exactly what Shane Gersich did. I love it. It shut the cardboard cutouts up. So later on in the period, the boys get a power play. And Lehigh Valley, they are number one in penalty kill in all the length. So the boys got their work cut out for them. Get some pretty passing plays going up over to the point. Over Connor McMichael. Power shot. Tipped in front. They score! Beat Sandstrom far side. Underneath the blocker, and was that deflected in front? That's number 26 in front. You know what that means. It's Matty! No. No, it wasn't. No. Connor McMichael beat him clean. Beat him clean far side that went back bar and in the net. No deflection, no matter clock. It goes to Connor McMichael. There can only be one. It's kind of fitting. He's a Highlander, and he's taking on the Phantoms. Sorry, I'm getting a little too nerdy for everyone here. But the boys go up 2-0 at the end of one, out shooting the Phantoms 12-6 in the first period. And again, Phantoms haven't played in 2 weeks. They're not getting their legs underneath them. So the Bears come out, take advantage early, and just go out. Just take it right to them. And that's what you got to do against this Phantoms team. But the Phantoms step it up in the second as well. They get more shots. They start finishing their checks, throwing their weight around. All right, this is a Phantoms team we know. And Reese Wilcox just absolutely plants a Phantoms right into his own bench. Butt first over, almost completely over, goes butt over tea kettle and just sit down, son. Sit down. Reese Wilcox torturing his old team. I love it. Can't happen to a better group of, well, Phantoms, I guess. So the Bears get another power play going with about 13:30 left in the second. And I've noticed with the Bears, at least in this game, winning faceoffs. That's something we take for granted in hockey, I think we do, is that, oh, well, you're supposed to win faceoffs. Well, winning them in the defensive zone is very important, but winning offensive zone faceoffs on a power play, it literally makes or breaks you on the power play when you get that kind of setup. But the boys win the power play, work the far side, centering feed for Molson, throws it across to Connor McMichael, all alone in the circle, winds, power shot, scores! Connor McMichael yet again against the top-rated power penalty kill in all the AHL. 2 goals on the ninth for his 10th goal this season, and it's 3-0. What? Wait. Let's back that up. For his 10th goal of the season, 10 goals for Connor McMichael. What the fudgelicious. 10 goals already. He leads the team in this mutant hybrid of a season. Is this kid the real deal? We haven't seen scoring like that since our former Lord and Savior, Chris Bork. And again, I said this earlier in the season with Connor McMichael. He's a guy that when he's out there, you pay attention to him. You know he's going to do something special. And if we can build around that, and then we might have that with Matt Molson and Philippe Mallet, and to have that kind of trio on the ice, for all you Bears fans that listen to this, and Corey Schwartz, I know you're listening to this, bud. Shades of Gordon, Keith Acoin, and Alexander Giroux. Yes, dare I invoke the name of the Hershey Trinity? Please, nobody take that too seriously. But, you know, that three-headed monster of the God Mode team. And while we may not have a formal playoffs this year, what that core could do, this is why I'm so optimistic toward next year, because I love seeing development and potential that Connor McMichael has. And not just him, making people on the team better around him. We haven't seen that in Hershey, well, for the better part of a decade. But I digress. We move on. Well, Lehigh starts getting some power plays later on in the period. They're trying to push back, and they go on the power play. Failed clearing attempt, gives it up to a Phantom in the slot, winds, fires, fought off by Phoenix Copley. They try to get it out of the zone. Phantoms knock it down. Once again, the slot blockered away just off to the near boards, and off goes AJ, him and his beautiful hair, streaking down the sides, goes up to the far boards, just lonely little shot. Oh my lord, it's in! He beats Felix Sandstrom, and Sandstrom just looks to the heavens. He's toast. He's done. He knows he should have had that. And Zach on the broadcast said it. Yeah, Sandstrom wants one back. We saw that with Sen on last Saturday. You just give up that weak kind of goal when your team's trying to get into it. And especially for Lehigh, who's already down a couple of goals. And your power play, that's not great. But you score there, you make it 3-1, and you start getting back into this. You start getting the wheels moving. But what happens? Two failed attempts off of two bad turnovers from Hershey, and AJ the Speedster just gets it out of the zone, goes into yours, and just gets a gift goal almost. And if you're the Phantoms, that's just a gut punch. And you could tell it's almost a formality at this point. 4-0 after two. The Phantoms, yeah, they tried to get back in it, but it was pretty much a formality at this point. The boys get another power play in the third period. And once again, winning faceoffs, getting it out to their wingers. Pinho just helps him win the faceoff after a tie-up, gets it back to the point, and point man off to McMichael, who everybody goes over to him like, oh crap, it's Das Funderkin, get over there, and just throws it over to a wide open Philippe Mallet on the circle, shoots, and Sandstrom is toast. They score all too easy, as Darth Vader would say, and it's 5-0 Hershey. Everything's coming up Hershey at this point. Well, you kind of knew that something like this was going to happen, and there it starts getting ugly out there as the Phantoms start taking some late hacks, start taking some late whacks, and Eddie Whitko takes a really bad checking penalty. He just checks, let's just see here, Solner, just checks him right in the back numbers. Yeah, that's a penalty in almost any league. No ref's going to take that, and Solner's like, hey, I don't like that you hit me. Let's go. And Eddie goes, all right, you want to go? And just wham, and immediately Solar regrets his life decisions. Now, I haven't seen Eddie fight too much, but that man is 6'4", 225, 235, I think I heard Zach say, of just beef. I mean, yeah, sure, Solar got a few punches in as well, but Eddie, he's level 75 defenseman. You're only a level 40 winger. You can throw shots in on him, but you're not going to do much damage. And Eddie just uses his size and length onto the boards and boom, chucks him into it. Not too hard, but just like you could tell the fight's over. Falls on top of Solner. And it's, okay, we're done here. Refs come over, pull them apart. We are done. And Eddie, love him. Let's get him a contract for next year, please. Big, beefy defenseman. I love it. But, of course, the Phantoms just aren't going to go away. Ryan Fitzgerald, later on in the third, breaks up the shutout. And it's 5-1 Hershey. Who cares? It's all right. It's okay. I mean, they're not going to pull a Pittsburgh, like Pittsburgh's up 6-0 on the New Jersey Devils, and it's not like they're the Pittsburgh Penguins, or they're going to give up 6 goals in the third period and turn a 6-0 blowout into a really, really stressful 7-6 final minute fight to the finish. All right, calm down. You won the game. The Penguins won the game. Just relax. It's cool. Let Neil and Devil State of Mind podcast deal with that. You don't have to. I'm cool. As Haiti would say, I'm cool. So, one more time. The Phantoms get a power play late in the period. Who cares at this point? At least I certainly don't. Knock down a long shot blocked by Leeson, and it goes out with him. 2-on-1. Looking. Actually, sorry, I got ahead of it. That wasn't something else I was thinking of. It wasn't a 2-on-1. The guy, Leeson, starts a break, and it was chipped up and over to him as Leeson splits the defense, kind of, and gets in, looks at Sandstrom's shot, scores! Big, beefy Brett Leeson, shorthanded. Two for Leeson. No, wait, only one. I'm getting ahead of myself. I keep doing this. But anyway, this is what happens when you do seat of your pants broadcasting, and the Bears just go up to Lehigh and just smoke them. Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Phantoms. Bears win it 6-1 the final. They're at the corner of 7th and Hamilton. Go warm up the bus. 5-game winning streak for the boys. 10th goal of the season for Connor McMichael. Good for him. Phoenix Copley gets a 25 save, not shutout, but 25 saves in the effort. Good on you, boys, to get yourself a nice midweek win over the heated rival of the Phantoms. Now, I'll tell you this, boys and girls. This ain't the last we're going to see the Phantoms. It's not. We still got some. We got two more makeup games to do, one at home, one at the PPL Center with about a month to go, and we will see where it goes with the boys. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with some news and nuggets here on the Grit and Barrett podcast, part of the Hockey Podcast Network.
So you like hockey? Congratulations. You're amongst the smartest sports fans in the world. Want to fight about it? Join me, the Hockey Troll, and that snack, Polly Cupcakes, every Monday and Thursday on the official Caps Chirp podcast, repping the greatest team in the NHL, your Washington Capitals.
Not only do we bring you the best Washington Capitals coverage, but we've got the hottest takes and the tastiest content.
Tune in wherever you get your podcast and at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com. Chirp us on all social media platforms at Caps Chirp.
See you beauties and benders there.
And we're back here on the Grit and Barrett podcast, bonus Friday edition. All ye weary traveler, you've made it to the weekend. Or as another tweet account on Twitter I've seen, congratulations, sailor, you've made it to Friday. That's supposed to be in Mr. Krabs' voice, but you know what I mean. So we had some news come down the pipeline, actually yesterday, since technically the time I'm recording this, but the Bears and the Washington Capitals, from Hershey Bears on Twitter, announced that head coach Spencer Carberry has agreed to a multi-year contract extension as Carberry has guided the Bears to 96-48-9-8 in his 3 years behind the bench with the Hershey Bears. Huzzah, huzzah, all around. Additionally, the Bears and Capitals have also announced that assistant coach Patrick Weller has agreed to a multi-year extension, as well as associate goaltending coach Alex Westland has agreed to a multi-year extension, rounding out Carberry's staff, which also includes assistant coach Scott Allen, who is already under contract heading into next season. Now, there were some, like myself included, who the jury was very out on Spencer Carberry when he first came in. He was part of the Providence Bruins system, and not much was known about him. I mean, this is the American Hockey League, yes. It's not like you have high-profile coaches here. It's not like you have guys like Joel Quenneville, John Tortorella, and Daryl Sutter out there, or Peter Laviolette. Down here in the American Hockey League, it's almost next coach up, or you just grab someone. I hate to use such a blunt of a term, but you know, it's not like there's a lot of fruit on the coaching tree here in the American Hockey League. So, and in Hershey, there's a reason why we call ourselves the New York Yankees of the American Hockey League. When coaches come in, we expect greatness. This is the arrogance of our fan base, and I'll gladly admit that. And it's also been said on, like, we hang Calder Cup banners. We don't hang division banners. We don't hang attendance banners. We don't hang All-Star Game banners. It's Calder Cup or nothing. And that's the pressures of coaching here in Hershey. So you got to realize that yes, the American Hockey League has turned into a developmental system, but there are still championships here, and teams, well, some more than others, still want to win championships. And that is a big part of the culture here in Hershey. And Carberry, he took to it. I mean, before he came in, we had head coach Troy Mann, who had a very puck possession type of style. You know, very hold the puck, wait for your shots, grade A opportunities. And while there were fans who understood the system, like yours truly, you had a lot of fans that were like, just shoot the puck, just shoot it. You know, when you had Troy Mann, if you had 28 shots a game, that was considered fun. But when Carberry came in, his philosophy was, if you don't have the puck, defend. If you do have the puck, go. Go on offense. More of a transition, speed and transition type game. So I didn't know what the guy was going to bring. None of us did. But he came in. He had some growing pains, especially the first half of that first year in dealing with a complete turnaround of the fallout of the Troy Mann years. A cold rookie Russian goalie by the name of Ilya Samsonov, what's ever happened to him, and dealing with a lot of pressure and, dare I say, BS here in Hershey. But once things started clicking in that second half of the 18-19 season, when that entire team really hit its stride, you saw Carberry and his system really start to work and come forward. And in the 19-20 season, that sort of return to excellence really came back with Carberry and the boys. And if it weren't for this stupid virus shutting down not just the season, but the world, there is a real possibility, boys and girls, that the Bears could have been making a return trip to the Calder Cup Finals. And maybe, who knows, it could have been Milwaukee we faced. It could have been Tucson. Who knows? But Corona robbed us of what could have been and robbed the people of a lot of things. So Carberry has done a really good job this year in dealing with this, as I call it, mutant hybrid of a season, to be able to take this team that it's a lot of the same with some new here and there, especially on the defensive core, and turn this team into a pretty damn good team that's playing nothing more than glorified preseason games. So I may have been a little long-winded in all this, but Carberry's extension, it is well-deserved. And there's a comment on Twitter, he'll probably be the next coach of the Capitals when Laviolette's done. Let's not put the cart before the horse on that one. I love Carberry. I would not pitch that idea to Pauly, Cupcakes, and Troll. I would not pitch that to the boys. Laviolette would have to have a nuclear fallout and leave for that to happen. It's happened before. Barbecue Bruce came up from Hershey and went up to the Capitals. So it's there. I just don't think it's going to happen immediately as people thought. Patrick Weller, great job as assistant head coach with him. Of course, nobody messed with him when he was on the ice, whether it was in Reading or with Hershey. That bold 33, he was a fighter when he was out there. So good on everyone. Good on the Bears and the Capitals for coming to this contract extension. Did somebody say contract extension? Fire Donatelli. Contract extension. If you know, you know. I'm not sure I can say the name Donatelli anymore, especially after what came out with him. I think it was last year before the pandemic and everything shut down. Or was it during the shutdown, the allegations of him that came out? But anyway, let's take a look ahead to what we've got coming down the pipeline, shall we? The boys are at it Saturday and Sunday as we take on the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins. And even in this type of season, we still have a home-and-home against the Baby Penguins. Remember, boys and girls, Baby Penguins have no souls. Grown-up Penguins do. Baby Penguins do not. As they will take on the Bears. I'm going to get fired for that. Anyway, they're taking on the Bears. 1 o'clock start Saturday, this coming Saturday at 1 o'clock. Now, I will let everyone know who listens to this, at least locally, this will not be televised. This is not one of the televised games that will be on Fox 43 here locally, at least not that I know of. So, you know, the only way you're going to watch this is either get AHL TV or get your butt to that socially distanced area at Giant Center. 1 o'clock start. I can tell you this, I will not be there. I am so done with these 1 o'clock starts. Sunday, the boys go at it for a 5 o'clock start up there in Wilkes-Barre. They're at Mohegan Sun Arena, the arena in the shadow of a mountain. 5 o'clock start. You know, if this was more of a normal season, I'd be all over that 5 o'clock start there in Wilkes-Barre. And hopefully when things do get right, we'll see more Sunday 3 o'clock games up at Wilkes-Barre. I'm all for those. I am all for 3 o'clock starts on Sunday afternoons in Wilkes-Barre. Because me and my beloved, we sleep in a little bit on a Sunday. We're on 81 by noon. Grab some breakfast slash brunch along the way. And we get up there for a 3 o'clock start in Wilkes-Barre. We're done by six, back on the road. And we're back, get her back home just in time. Well, we grab some dinner along the way home, perhaps a nice Denny's there in Hazleton. And we're back home before 9 o'clock. Easy. Absolutely easy. 5 o'clock, it's doable. It's doable. I mean, me working second, it's doable, but I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm rambling. Yes, I am. So the boys will take on the Penguins this weekend. I'll take the boys in both, in all honesty. I mean, this Wilkes-Barre team is just, it's a great big bag of nothing. I mean, at least with the Phantoms and the Devils, both those teams have an identity. At least with the Devils, they play a lot of New Jersey's middles, neutral zone type trap. And while they are a bunch of prospects, and they may not seem very good sometimes, the skill is there. The Phantoms, they're very young. They're trying to figure themselves out. But Hershey and Phantoms, always fun. This Penguins team has been absolutely gutted by taxi squad, injuries, and GM Jim Rutherford absolutely salting and destroying this farm club beyond recognition. It's going to be a rough few years, Wilkes-Barre, before you get that pipeline going again. But don't worry, Ron Hextall and Brian Burke are going to fill that system full of good old North American forwards before you know it. So I like the Bears in both, taking on the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins this weekend. Looking down the line a little bit, on Wednesday, we will be back in Newark. 6 o'clock start to take on the Binghamton / Newark Devils / soon to be known Utica Devils. We'll head back to Wilkes-Barre the following Saturday, May 1st, to take on the Penguins yet again. 5 o'clock start up there in Wilkes-Barre. 5 o'clock start on a Saturday night? Yes, if I was able to. Sunday, back at home against the Phantoms, 3 o'clock start on a Sunday, and that will be the proverbial beginning of the end, as the following week, the boys will have their last two road games, barring any sort of rescheduling as well, and then the 15th and 16th, that is it. We'll be closing up shop, as far as we know, after that, because we have no word about the AHL, any type of postseason, as of yet. So thank you to everyone for joining me on this Friday edition of the Grit and Barrett podcast. We had a Wednesday night recap, got you some Bears news, and we got you ready for this weekend's games. So thank you for liking, sharing, and subscribing. We got some issues taken care of hopefully on the Megaphone front. That was another reason why I wanted to do this episode, to get some issues resolved. And I also want to let everyone know that coming soon, a spin-off series called Game Over is going to start up on here. You're going to see more of these within the next upcoming weeks. Consider them like a exit survey and exit podcast of each and every NHL team as they are eliminated, whether it's regular season or via playoffs. It's a huge task for me, but we're going to do some shifting toward the NHL playoffs once we get into the playoffs for the NHL. So take a look out for that on the next couple weeks. I'm hoping to get the Sabres and Devils up and running soon. So thank you to everyone. We're looking to get some video up and running here in the future. So everyone, it's Friday. You know what that means. Enjoy your weekend full of hockey. Enjoy the beautiful weather. And above all else, go Bears. And remember, keep your stick on the ice, as Red Green would say. We'll see you next time.